Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Scott Ruitt, Oregon State women's basketball coach. I had somebody talk to me. Pete Newell Jr. was asking me. He said, "You know, you guys got some really good basketball coaches in your state." And he had been watching Scott Ruitt. And as people may know, Pete Newell's father, Pete Newell Sr., Hall of Fame coach, the big man camps, all that. Pete Jr. said, "You know who teaches the entry pass to the big better than anybody?" He said, "Scott Ruitt at Oregon State." And so that's not why we're bringing Scott Ruitt at Oregon State on the show, but you got a fan in Pete Newell Jr., coach.
I'll take it. I'll take any fan, actually.
Right?
You know, I guess some do count more than others.
Yeah. Well, he knows what he's talking about. He's coming on tomorrow's show because he's all kinds of mad about how AAU coaches and high school coaches are teaching the game. He says, "We're losing the game." Do you feel like we're losing the game a little bit fundamentally, or what do you see when you're out recruiting? Maybe it's different in women's basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit different. I think that's why so many people that have been around for a while love our sport and love our game, because they see, execution, teamwork, the things that it takes for us to create and manufacture shots have to come from more of a team-oriented concept. Than some forms of the men's game. And I still enjoy both, don't get me wrong, you know, but I just hear that comment a lot.
Yeah. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, a really good defensive player, a really good offensive player. As a coach, of course you want well-rounded players, but how do you balance substituting and knowing you have a really good defender, knowing you have a really good offensive player? You know, I'm always curious how you get minutes for players when maybe you have a player whose strengths are just on one end of the court, or how do you handle that as a coach? You must have seen situations like this over the years.
Well, I think that's the art of the game, and I think it's by feel. I think it's circumstantial. I don't think there's a formula. Certainly, I'm not a cookie-cutter coach. I know that, you know, there's things that my teams tend to do more than others, and that would be a preference of mine. But, you know, you just have to go with who you are and go with what the situation demands. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes you're just searching for things. You know, the other night in our Thursday game, I was just searching for things. And so therefore, you know, you might try this or that. And it might not make any sense. It might not even make any sense to me. If I really were to step back, but for whatever reason, it's just the feel and what seems right to do. And as the person in the decision-making role, you just have to trust your instincts sometimes and understand you might swing and miss, but you know, you can live with the fact that you're doing your best for your group.
You look real calm while taking those swings on the bench. But you look like you have it all figured out, arms folded. Big win over St. Mary's at home on Saturday. Last Thursday, big win over Pepperdine, two in a row. What's going right for you guys right now?
I think it's our group. You know, we have so much new and not just new people, but new roles for lots of people and new expectations, and maybe an uncomfortable level is demanded. So there's just this constant swing of confidence and lack of confidence. And can I do this? And, oh, I did this. Can I keep doing this? You know, and there's just so much at play with our group that we've just really struggled with consistency overall as we're working through all of these things. And so lately, I just love our defensive intensity. I feel like we've hit a place where that's become more and more consistent and something we can lean on. And certainly, we needed it earlier in the year. Then we had a little bit of success, you know, and then I felt like we relaxed a bit. And then it was hit and miss, and, you know, trying to figure out who we are. Sometimes you start maybe thinking, okay, we've got this, and we don't need to grind quite as hard. And that's not intentional. That would just be the nature, human nature at play, because this team cares and plays as hard as anybody I've coached. I mean, they grind, and we've had to grind all year long. Well, lately, I feel like we've just fully understood it. This is who we are. This is our identity. And This is who we have to be, you know, the team we're capable of being. And I've loved seeing that because it is necessary and demanded. And now, you know, the next phase is just for the offensive end of the floor to become more and more consistent. And droughts offensively have really plagued us this year. And it's not that we're not capable. It's just, you know, everybody elevating into what they need to be all the time, so that we can execute at a level, you know, that can get away from a team, you know, meaning where we can separate on the scoreboard, you know, like we did on Saturday.
I know you don't want to look back too much because you got games to coach, but what happened to you at the end of last season shouldn't have happened. And I think it was the biggest casualty. I can look at one team. That team, what you, the momentum you had, the trajectory you had, you were Elite Eight, Final Four bound. That team was going to play deep into the tournament. And here came something totally out of your control. And you had kids leaving. And I know that wasn't an easy time for you. You also had some kids who chose to stay. What did it mean to you to have some kids go, I'm with you still?
Validation for, you know, the program that we are and have been, I think. I, you know, looking back, even in the midst of it, I understood the, you know, unfair, as you mentioned, circumstance that we were all put in. Totally beyond our control, just unfair, where everybody had to kind of reevaluate, you know, what they wanted and where they were based upon the current state of our circumstance. And there wasn't really a lot to latch onto other than the culture that we've built and all the things that are here that are within our control, which, you know, have always felt like really good, healthy things for the most part. Nothing's perfect, you know, but, you know, we've had some great times over the years with a lot of great people with, and we're very well supported. And so that wasn't changing. And so those five who chose to stay, it made sense for them. And they basically, you know, allowed us to maintain some momentum, you know, as we were moving towards the future in acquiring, you know, the seven that we added last spring. And, you know, they were stabilizing forces, you know, headlined by AJ Marat, who's, you know, our 1 4-year player. She has said many times publicly, why would you leave here? You know, and that has always meant a lot to me and validated, you know, just our program in general, even in uncertain times and with so many transitional things going on around us.
I remember your first season and, you know, you were MacGyvering it and I thought, well, don't bet against Scott Ruick getting this program back to where it was before. What is it going to take? You know, you got some investment with the Joth Ricci family, you know, I know stepping up and seems like the WCC for now. And then, you know, what looks like a very decent basketball conference in a, you know, couple of years. What's it going to take on your end or what do you need?
Just more of the same. I think, you know, the Ricci gift was so monumental for us. And, you know, he just stepping up gave us confidence, gives us, you know, certainly support financially and just a statement of investment that was so important, especially in these uncertain times. But we've had a lot of people step up as well. You know, so this program has as much resource as we've ever had, if not more. And I know that. I know who I am. I know who our program is. I know who Oregon State is. And the plan is just to keep doing what we're doing. What is going to take some time, I think, is for other people to understand that and see that and have, and we just have to continue to prove it. You know, if you watch this team play right now, they look like an Oregon State team. Yeah. Now we haven't been the most efficient offensive team, but that's a work in progress, of course, because of the transition. But their culture that they have, it's Oregon State. You watch us play, you watch us interact, it's just what we've always been. And it's what we had at George Fox that led to Oregon State, and now it's here. And that's not changing, you know, so when, you know, people are looking back on things or looking at things, I don't know if I can trust that, or I don't know what it's going to be like. Well, it's going to be like that. It's going to be a great day every day. And even in our down times, it's still a great day because you're with great people and, you know, we're all doing things we love with people that we respect and want to be around. And so that's not changing. Now we just need more and more people to see that again and understand that our path forward, you know, with the new Pac-12 in our current situation with the West Coast Conference, but right now Massey has this conference ranked sixth in the country. It's a good league, and we have good teams that we play against and great coaches every night. So it's competitive, and we have a path to march if we take care of business. We will next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. And so for us, it's just proving, especially to, you know, those who have read the headlines the most. So the people in our country who read and follow sports have read that us in Washington State just aren't going to be what we were, and we've been left for dead. And, well, some of our circumstances have changed, but not the most important ones. And you can still get to where you want to go from here. And we will prove it, and then people will understand that, and we will become a viable option for those who might not think we are at this moment.
You took a program that had almost no history, or no history at all, to a Final Four. And I know that had to be very validating. There's something I know about you as a competitor, because I've watched you, that I have a feeling that, you know, there's a little extra motivation for you to build this thing back. I mean, how satisfying would that be to you to get this thing back to where it was in the old conference and be like, you know, whatever you throw at Scott Ruick, it ain't going to matter. He's going to swat it away.
You know, a good question. I mean, certainly that's, I am human. So there are some things in there that certainly appeal to me that you just shared. I mean, that would be really fun to be a part of, doing something that people don't think is possible, or doing something where people count you out.
You've already done it. Like, you've already done that. Like, you took them to a Final Four, you know, like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But well, doing it again would just be doing what I did then, which is just doing what I think I should do. So getting to a Final Four, I just think that's what I should do. I should recruit the best possible people. We should coach them the best possible way that we know. And because of that, we should be hard to beat every night. And so that is what's in front of us as well. No difference. Would it feel great? Yeah, of course it would feel great, but it would feel great, you know, if we're proving people wrong or proving people right. It really doesn't matter. You know, it's fun to be the favorite and win, just like it's fun to be, you know, the underdog and win. And so I just feel like it's my responsibility to keep doing what I do, which is what I described. And, you know, if we win again at a high level, certainly that would be really special. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we can find a way to do that.
Scott Ruick is with us, Oregon State women's basketball coach. They've won two straight. You have seven to go in the regular season, conference tournament in Vegas. I'll be there. Eager to see what you guys are, but what are you thinking now? Because I think in the off season you're looking to make growth and gains, and then you know, do you sort of separate and divide the season into segments? And if I give you this last seven games, what kind of growth are you expecting or hoping to see?
Steady progress for everyone. I think this team is starting, you know, it's kind of funny to say starting, but in a way it does feel that way. It takes so long to understand culture and understand who you are and to step up in it and then to hold yourself to that standard. And we have a lot of people on our team right now that are on that path. And so I think, you know, our best is definitely ahead. I think the journey that we've had to this point has had some real highs. I mean, the weekend where we opened conference, you know, and won at Gonzaga, then won at Portland. Portland hadn't lost at that point, and they were so, you know, confident. And for us to go into both of those places and find ways to win showed this team what they were capable of. The second time around, people have understood who we are. They've made good adjustments against us, forced us into our weaknesses. And so now overcoming those weaknesses is the next lesson. It just never ends. And so I'm looking forward to consistency. I'm looking forward to stringing together, you know, some wins and playing really efficient basketball like we did the other night. For this group, for those who have watched us, to only have five turnovers at the end of a game, people would have said that's not possible, you know, a month ago, if not maybe even 2 weeks ago. To have a 20-assist, 5-turnover game, you know, is massive growth for us. And so I'm super proud of the team for sticking with it. And so I just want more of that. You can't predict wins, you know, but I know this is a hyper-competitive group that wants to be great. And, you know, they do have something to prove, you know, and it's fun to help them with that.
You got LMU on Thursday. You're at San Diego on Saturday. Then you're back home next Thursday against Gonzaga. I think it's going to be fun to see that. And, you know, what has the home crowd at Gill been like for you this season? And, you know, what do you need from that crowd on Thursday, a week from Thursday?
Our crowd's insane. I mean, they've watched some great basketball over the years, you know, and we've played some great basketball this year, and we've played some not great basketball at home, you know, and, you know, for our fans are insane. I mean, to have over 4,000 in there Saturday afternoon, you know, to have over 4,000 in there Thursday night, cheering for us, like, you know, I mean, like it's a bunch of four-year seniors playing, you know, that they've lived, they've adopted this team, which I'm so proud of, and doesn't surprise me, it's who they are, you know, but there's just no place like it. You know, we've been lots of places over the years, and this place just loves this team and this program like very few places, if any, and I'm just so proud, you know, to be a part of it, and I know that they will bring a huge effort for us against Gonzaga, for sure. It doesn't matter who we play, but, you know, that will be a special night for us, and, you know, I can say that Sunday, or Saturday, excuse me. I'm so used to Friday, Saturday.
Right,
Sunday,
I know.
For all these years. Thursday, Saturday. I guess our game was on Saturday. That's right. What day is it today? And so that Saturday game, you know, where we put it on St. Mary's, and that's a good team, you know, and it was a throwback day for everyone in that arena that has been watching our program. It's like, okay, that's Beaver basketball. That's what it looks like. Dominant defense, efficient offense, fun. You know, we got our bench sometime. Elisa, our post player from Denmark, scored her first bucket of the year. Place went absolutely crazy. It was just such a feel-good moment. And, you know, so I'm just looking forward to more of that.
I want to talk a little bit about my favorite college golfer, Cole Ruick, your son at Boise State. I think he's a junior now. He's got the Genesis Collegiate Showcase coming up on Monday. Man, what's it like to see a kid that, you know, he found his thing, right? Like, I have three daughters. I hope they all find their thing. Cole has found his thing.
He has found his thing, for sure. It's just, you know, he had a question. He was home for Christmas, and somebody asked him, are there days where, you know, you're just kind of done with it? You don't want to go out there, or you're like, you're questioning why you're doing this anymore. And he was honest, and he said, yeah, there's been a couple of days I've not felt like practicing, but he goes, that's very temporary. It's just a few minutes. He loves the sport, and he loves what it does for him and who he's become through it. And it's been easy to support him because we've never had to ask him to do it. It's just like you mentioned, as a parent, you want to, you know, put all these things in front of your kids and see what they're drawn towards, and then support them in whatever that is. In Cole's situation with golf, of course, it's something I love too. And so that's been like the added bonus to it. But I've told him many times, I'm like, you better not be playing this thing for me. Mm-hmm. And I told him that a long time ago, you know, going to youth events and different things. I'm like, I will love you the exact same no matter what you do. And I don't care if you ever golf again, if you don't want to. And you have to understand and believe that. And you know, it's just never been a thing. And so watching him, you know, flourish in this and watching him take it on at the highest level and all the courage that takes, you know, to go out there, and golf is a sport of failure in so many ways. I guess all of them are, but golf is in particular. And, you know, there's so much pain involved. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go out there and you know, take the club, put the glove on and grab the club again and try again, especially, you know, at the level of difficulty that college golfers participate at. And so I'm just really proud of him, the way he approaches it, the leader that he is on his team. And it's a great group of guys he's a part of with a great coach. And so we're just so pleased for him, and we're excited to be down there and support him a week from today.
And for people who don't know, Cole was the Mountain West Conference individual champion. Also qualified for the Scottish Open. you know, you're a good dad. We know that because you said things there that every good dad would say. But pretty cool to be at the Scottish Open when your kid's playing, is it not?
It was a week of walking in heaven for me. I don't know. I was just talking to a buddy, and I was just like, is there anything better than watching your kids play sports?
Yeah.
I just don't know if there's anything better. Because you're seeing them, their authentic self in competition, their weaknesses, their strengths, the grind. You're learning their character through it. You see the flaws and you see the great things, and it's just so fun. And so I got to walk with him every step, you know, for a week over there, and there's nothing better. And so, yeah, it was amazing to be in the locker room with Rory. You know, just, you know, the stuff that, you know, we're the second day of competition, that, you know, the Friday of the event, our tee time was later in the day. And so we got there, and I think Rory had already played. I can't remember what his deal was, but we walk in the locker room or in the clubhouse, and Cole and the girls go up to eat, and I take the clubs in the locker room, and Rory was sitting in there on the couch. And so I put the clubs down, went out and got Cole. I said, hey, Cole, I think you need something in the locker room. So we go back. Yeah. I pull him back in the locker room. And Cole had met Rory at Riviera last year when he qualified, and was introduced to him. And Rory's like, hey, see you in July, right? And so anyway, we walk in, and there's Rory sitting there. And we just kind of walked up to him. And I said, Rory, I don't know if you remember Cole, you know. And he's like, oh, hey, Cole. He goes, I saw your approach on number 5 yesterday. And so when we were in round 1 on the 5th hole, Rory was walking up 18 and had the presence to recognize that that's the amateur, because Cole is the only amateur in the event, that hit on to 5 as he's walking up, and he remembered it the next day. And, you know, so to be immersed at the top level of the sport for a week when that's what you want to do someday, there's no substitute for that. I mean, what a valuable blessing and experience that was for him, and it was just an honor to be with him.
I see parents who have been hanging out on the Gill Coliseum floor, and they'll see one of your players come out, and they'll elbow their kid. Hey, that's Michaela Pivic. Hey, that's, you know, and you were that parent. You were like, hey, Cole, you need something in the clubhouse. Yeah, I love that.
You know I was. We're going to make the most of this.
I love it. Hey, congrats on, you got lightning in a bottle right now. Keep it going. I will see you down the stretch here, and obviously catch you in Vegas at the WCC tournament, but love having you on, Coach. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to seeing you down there.
There he goes. Scott Ruick, Oregon State women's basketball coach. Look, he took a program that had no history to a Final Four. By no fault of his own or anybody on that roster and really anybody in the conference, no players, no coaches played a role in the downfall of the Pac-12. Scott Ruick and that team now face, I'm not going to say it's an unprecedented climb, because when he started in his first year, he was using walk-on players playing basketball games. You know, he's got a mission now, and I got to think he's got a chip on his shoulder. They've won 2 in a row. They absolutely blasted St. Mary's the other night, and they're scheduled down the stretch. Really, 5 of their next 7 could be wins. Gonzaga at Gill Coliseum is a tough one, but keep an eye on Oregon State down the stretch here. Ruick's got them playing well, and the schedule's lining up for them. They'll be in Vegas. Let's see how they do. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up.